So what is it that you all have there? A puzzle piece. Does everybody have one? Now look, I don't have one. Can I have one? Together, we could put together a puzzle using all of our pieces, and they would all fit together to make a picture of something. We don't know what because we don't have the box. Well, I know, but I'm not going to tell you. So we could put all these pieces together, and it would make some kind of picture that I hope would be really beautiful. But each of these pieces look different. They're shaped different. Look at the person next to you. Is their piece the same as yours? No, it's different. So when you put all the pieces together, if there's a piece missing, you can't complete the picture. How can we complete the picture if Zeke's piece isn't going to be there? How can we complete the picture if Henry's piece is missing? It'll be incomplete without that piece. You, each one of you, me too. We are all uniquely made and shaped by God. No one else is shaped like you. And when you view the plan that God has for your life, nobody else can fit into that place but you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that you have shaped us the way that you have. God, we praise and we thank you that you do not make mistakes, that you do not make errors, that you intentionally shaped us to be who we are and how we are. God, help us to be thankful for how you have created and made us today. Father, I pray that you would open the scriptures to us, that we would have open hearts and open minds and open lives to receive the word that you've brought to us this morning. God, please get me out of the way so that only your truth would be proclaimed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you, maybe all of you, you tell me, have you heard that song, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Raise your hand. I am one of them, and so are you. So I'll praise the Lord. Right arm, right. So most of us know that song, Father Abraham, but this morning is Mother's Day, and so we're going to talk about Mother Sarah. Mother Sarah, the wife of Father Abraham. How can you be a father without a mother? Only God can do that, right? So this morning we're going to talk about Sarah, or Sarai, as she was named before God changed her name. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Genesis this morning. If you don't have your Bibles with you, there is a Bible beneath your chair. There should be. So before we go to Genesis, you don't have to go here, but I'm going to read to you real quick from Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes known as the Faith Hall of Fame, the chapter for the Faith Hall of Fame. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." By faith, Sarah, because she had considered him faithful who made the promise. So what is that promise? That's what we're going to look at today. So if you'll open with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beautiful chapter. It's the calling of Abram. Abram's name was changed from Abram to Abraham, just like Sarai's name was changed from Sarai to Sarah, as an indication of God's coming fulfillment of his promise. And here we're going to read what this promise was and how it all began. In Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And here's the promise. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be pleased through you. And all the people of the earth will blessed, sorry. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, let's recall back to the beginning of creation about 10 chapters ago. In Genesis chapter 2, God formed Eve from the side of Adam. He didn't create Eve from Adam's head. He didn't create Eve from Adam's foot, but from his side, to be his companion, to be his helpmate, to be his helper. And when Adam saw Eve, what did he say? This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We are one. So when God made this promise to Abram in chapter 12, did he mean only the male side of the flesh? He made this promise to Abram that all the nations would be blessed through him. Sarah is included here. Sarai is included here in this promise and in this blessing. And if you don't believe me, stick with me. You'll see. It's true. So from here, let's look a little bit more at God's promise. We're going to flip over to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. We're going to read verses 15 to 19. Genesis 17, 15 to 19. And God also said to Abraham, "For as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of all nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." So see, I proved it, right? She was there in that promise to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. They are one flesh. God was going to bless the nations through not just Abram, but Abram and Sarai, the two of them together. No other plan would work. God couldn't do his plan with a missing piece of Sarah or the missing piece of Abraham. He needed both of them to complete his plan. I'll show you what I mean. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, we see that there's a famine in the land. So we're going back. This is after God has called Abram away from his country, which I really love, because let's just talk about that for a moment. This is another bonus aside from the message. Isn't it beautiful that in Genesis chapter 12, it just says, so Abram went. On chapter 4, I'm sorry, 12, Genesis 12, verse 4, it says, so Abram went. He heard. So when God spoke to him, he didn't say, God, who? Who is that talking? He was prepared. He already knew God's voice. He knew God was speaking to him. He already had a relationship with God, so he was ready to go. And God spoke this into his life. And then in verse 4, it says, so Abram went. That simple. Boy, God let us be that quick to obey. It's beautiful. So, after God called them, they went, and there was a famine. There became a famine in the land where they were. And so Abram and Sarai went to Egypt. So that's where we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife? Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was very beautiful, a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. And he treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. You see, there's a problem. This blessed child couldn't come from Sarai and Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't part of the plan. It had to be Sarai and Abram. Sarah just couldn't get pregnant by any old person. It had to be Abram. They are one flesh. That was the plan. How else is it not part of God's plan? Let's look at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. So now we see that it's been a while. And Abram, he's like, I know God said this, but, you know, Sarai's old. I don't know how God's going to do this. Maybe I can help him out. Has anyone here ever tried to help God out? How does that work for you? All right, let's see what Abram's plan is. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 15, and we'll just read 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." And he took him outside and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And here's a beautiful verse. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul reminds us of that in the New Testament. It's beautiful. So you see, God's plan wasn't going to work with Sarai and Pharaoh. God's plan wasn't going to come through Eleazar. Here we see it's got to come from Abram's own body, his own flesh and blood. All right. So Abram had a plan. Maybe it was going to be Eleazar. God said, "No, not that." Well, now Sarah decides she's going to help God out. So let's see what happens with her plan. Let's look at Genesis 16, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. So she had a baby. Well, but that's not the plan. You can't have the plan. You can't have this blessing through Sarai and Pharaoh, through Eleazar, or through Abram and Hagar. That's not God's plan. That's not how his puzzle is going to fit together. So that plan of Sarah's not going to work. That plan of Abram's not going to work. Some other roundabout way, not going to work. Let's look at one last story in Genesis chapter 20. This is another crazy thing, isn't it? This is a story of Abram goes into a part of the land where it's the Philistines' land. And Abimelech, and actually this is very interesting. Well, it's interesting to me. Abimelech is not a person's name. Abimelech is like a title, like king or pharaoh or Caesar. So you'll see other places in the Old Testament where Abimelech is mentioned. He didn't live for thousands of years. That's a title. It's not a name. Okay? So he goes into the Philistine territory, and he says to his wife again, because he clearly didn't learn his lesson in Egypt, he says, "Oh, just say you're my sister." It'll be fine. Don't worry. Just say you're my sister. But then, in verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not gone near her. Phew. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in a dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I've kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all who belong to you will die. So we see many ways that God's plan was not thwarted. It wasn't going to work with Sarai and Pharaoh. It wasn't going to work through Eleazar. It wasn't going to work through Hagar and Abram. And it wasn't going to work through Abimelech and Sarah either. Only Sarah and Abraham could bring about this promise. So, joy of joys, it finally happens. Let's read this. In Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, and God commanded him, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Isn't that beautiful? Promise fulfilled. That's how the pieces fit together. Sarah and Abraham. If you'll forgive me, let me digress just a bit. Now, I'm not a feminist, but I believe that women are powerful creations of God. And sometimes in the church, we hear so much about Father Abraham. We hear so much about the patriarchs. We hear so much about the men of God that sometimes we wonder, where are the women? What are they doing? So let me take this opportunity to share with you how incredibly important you are to God, Olga. You're his daughter. He loves you so much. Each one of us. Norma, God loves you. God has a plan for women, not apart from men, and men have a plan from God, not apart from women. We are one together. God can't do it with just half of us. And the enemy who comes against us and say, women, just sit back, just be quiet, just get out of the way. Don't believe the lie. The enemy's trying to just shut out half of the army of God. Father Abraham should be revered for his faith. God credited him as righteousness. But by faith, Sarah, believing that he who was faithful would complete his promise, couldn't happen without her. Abraham and Sarah. Whenever you read from now on, from this day forward, male, female, whenever you read something about Abraham, you put in your mind, and Sarah, it was the two of them. It was always the two of them. From the beginning, from Genesis 12, it was always meant to be the two. You with me? We needed her. Amen. So, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 28. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28 says, now you brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. Amen. We are the children of promise. Christ was the ultimate blessing that was going to bless all of the nations. He is what God was speaking about to Abraham and to Sarah. It is through Christ that the nations are blessed. Through salvation only in the name of Christ that that blessing comes. But now we, who are his body, we carry that gospel and that blessing in our bodies. And we carry it to the nations. That is how we've been called. That is our purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, each one of us. Not just the people who stand up here and play instruments or proclaim the word to you. Each one of you has a ministry given to you by God. And nobody else, nobody else can fulfill the ministry that God has called you to. Ministry is a really big umbrella. Sometimes ministry means giving somebody a cup of cold water. Sometimes ministry is sharing a song with someone who's hurting. Sometimes ministry is praying for someone. It can look a lot of different ways, and each one of us has a ministry, has a shape that God shaped us to be. And no one else can do it. Only you. No one else. I want to read to you again from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. If I had the sermon done sooner, we would have had all the verses up on the screen. But we're working our Bibles today, and that's okay, right? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, as he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore, and we are them. All of us. We are that offspring. In that same chapter, verse 1, chapter 11. Now faith is confidence. Some versions say evidence. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the evidence of what we hope for. The confidence, the assurance of what we cannot see. Sarah couldn't see it. Abram couldn't see it. They tried to make different plans. It didn't work. But they kept believing. God kept nudging them, and they kept believing in God. Called them righteous, and he fulfilled that promise to them. Just like he's going to fulfill his promise to you. What is that promise? Well, sometimes it's really specific. But let's talk generally, because we're in a congregation together, and let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, what verse do you think I'm going to? 11? You're right. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Hope and a future. Didn't we just read something about hope? Hope and a future. Then when you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God has plans for you. Uh-oh. What if you make a mistake? What if you try to help God out, like Sarah or Abraham? You can see God's not intimidated by our efforts to try to help him. Those of us who have children, we have them, they come in the kitchen and they say, oh, can I help you make cookies? Can I help you make dinner? Oh, sure, you can help me. And sometimes that helping makes more work for us. God is not intimidated by our desire to help him out. We cannot get in the way of his plans. And even if we think we can, Paul gives us a great answer to that in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, not some things, not just the things we get right, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. We know we're called according to his purpose. We know we're part of his plan. Father, Abraham is our father. Sarah is our mother. Christ is our redeemer. We have been called according to his purpose. So now we know and we can cling to this promise, this truth that all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's not surprised by the things that we encounter in our lives. God's not surprised by the things that happen in the world around us. And he's not surprised by our failure. He is always just working, putting that puzzle together, putting the pieces together to make the picture of your life, for you to complete his plan that only you can complete. No one can fulfill the plan that God has for you. He made no mistake when he made you. His glorious plans for you can only be fulfilled by you. Walk in what he's called you to without excuse. You are good enough because he made you good enough. He's declared you good enough. He was good enough. You were good enough to send his son to die for you. I heard someone say once that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. God's plans for you. You're good enough because he who is good has made you good enough and called you to it. He will equip you and prepare you. Trust him and listen to him and follow him. May God say of us all, by faith, Norma. By faith, Ron. By faith, Alex. By faith, Henry. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. You can keep this puzzle piece. Maybe it'll remind you. I praise God for each one of you. I'm so thankful for each one of you. Sometimes I have a problem being thankful for myself. So while you think this message is for you today, I need to hear it. I'm preaching to myself. It's not arrogance to be thankful for how God created you to be. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. The assumption is you actually love yourself. That's not narcissistic. Love yourself the way God loves you. See yourself the way God sees you. Will you stand and pray with me? Oh, Father, you are good all the time. You are good. You are good all the time. And even when we feel like you aren't good, even when we feel like maybe you're not good, you are. Our feelings sometimes trick us, God. Our feelings say, you haven't fulfilled your promise. You haven't lived up to your end of the bargain, God. Father, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. God, increase our faith. Help us to believe in these plans that you have for us. Help us to walk in faithfulness, because while you're working all things to our good, Father, I would rather you be working them according to your plan, according to your will and not my will. According to your will and not our will. Father, bring about your plans. And Father, we want to help you in the ways that you've enabled and equipped us to help you, not in the ways that our flesh tries to get in the way. Help us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices every day. Help us to be like Abram, who said, okay, I'll go. You said go, I'm going to go. There may be somebody here today that is feeling, I'm a missionary, God, so I can't help but think that there's someone here that's thinking, maybe I'm meant to go, like Abram went, to another place, to another people, that aren't my own. So, Father, if there is someone in this room, will you continue to make their heart ready and their lives ready to walk into that calling? Because the fields are wide unto harvest, God. Help us to be living sacrifices and living ministers of your gospel. I shared today, God, that each one of us has been called to this ministry of reconciliation. Show us the ways, God, that we might minister your truth and your love and your grace to all of those around us, Father. Father, we pray that we would leave this place different than what we came in.